He's heating up. That means trouble for the rest of MLS, no doubt about it. And I'm not talking about Lionel Messi, though we will. We are talking about Denis Bouanga, Mario. Another big goal late. Look out. Look out. He's heating up.
The rest of MLS, got to beware, because when Denis gets hot, it's hard to stop him, right, Dave? And the sound of that rocket that he hit, the game winner hitting off of that post, you heard that just rattle that post going in, and the sound of BMO Stadium just erupting for that game winner. Pure joy for Denis, pure joy for the black and gold faithful Saturday night at BMO Stadium. Wow.
It really was. Welcome to LAFC Plus, episode 11. He's Mario Ruiz. I'm Dave Denholm. We are part of the English radio broadcast for LAFC. The plus, of course, is the rest of MLS. We'll get to that as well. But we do start with that big 3-2 win, the big goal late, 93rd minute, second straight week, a massive goal for Denis Bouanga in stoppage time, getting the tie in the previous week against New York Red Bulls, getting the draw there, and then winning it at home in this huge match against another 10-man Portland team. Portland just can't keep anybody on the field against LAFC. What was Diego Chara doing? Hey, I'll take it, Mario, but he lost his mind on that second yellow.
It's funny because on the drive up to the stadium, I was telling my son about all the talented players that Portland has, right? Rodriguez, Mora, and then Crapeau, he's on that team as well now. And then he asked, do they still have Diego Chara? And I told him, yes, they do. They still got him. He's the walking yellow card, and we all know that. So I said, watch out for him. He's going to be fouling our guys. And sure enough, it's only fitting that Diego Chara makes history that night, right, at BMO Stadium. And setting the MLS record.
The most appearances for one club, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 377 games played for one club. Wow. And then going out there and getting the double yellow cards and sent home to the locker room early is only fitting, right?
That does seem perfect for him, actually. That was like a perfect way to do it for Diego Chara, because he's always doing that. But as we review the win, look, Portland is a team that's going to score on you. They got a lot of weapons, as you told your son, right? And they, Jonathan Rodriguez's goal was tremendous. Not much you can do about that. The Moreno goal was well set up. It was a little bit fluky in how it took a wicked deflection. You saw Lloris kind of diving the wrong way after Moreno struck the ball, because it actually deflected and then spun like a top and somehow still found its way in. But they just can't stop people from scoring. I mean, that's Portland's trouble. You know, you just got to keep your head about you. You're going to get chances. Crapeau made, what, 8 saves? I mean, 6 of them were good, really good saves. A couple of them were kind of routine that he didn't have. But Maxime, I mean, my goodness, he kept them in that match, as we saw him do many times for LAFC. Otherwise, I mean, I thought LAFC played pretty well, Mario. It would have been a little bit harsh to tie 2-2 again against this Timbers team. I thought they deserved the win. I really did.
Yeah, you talk about Maxime Crapeau. What a performance from him. Even though LAFC did score 3 goals on him, he still had a spectacular, you know, reaction saves here and there. And it could have been a lot worse if Maxime wasn't in goal. Yeah. And it was great to see the crowd just showing love to him and him going to the 32-52 and them, you know, slapping hands and everything. But once that whistle blew, it was on. It was game on for sure.
Yeah, if they had an average goaltending night, a goalkeeping night, that might have been a 5-2 if he would have just played average, you know. And here's the thing about LAFC. This is a team through 10 matches. If you recall early in the season, 3 shutouts. The LAFC were shut out 3 times. Since then, what, 6 straight games with 2 or more goals now? I mean, the offense is really starting to click. And, we started with he's heating up. Yes, he's got 6 goals now, Denis Bouanga. So he's climbing up the charts. But other people are doing it, right? Timothy Tillman. We're getting more contributions around the pitch, I think, than they did last year. I think there's more danger for teams to try to defend even than last season. I mean, again, Carlos Vela was there, so that's always trouble for defenses. But I think there's more ways that LAFC can score again this year. That's a great thing.
Yeah. Timmy Tillman continues to shine at BMO Stadium in particular. That's now 4 goals for Timothy at home. And he says it all the time. He loves to play at BMO Stadium in front of the best crowd in MLS. And I think, Dave, I'm going to have to change his name from Timothy to Himothy, because he is him. So I'm going to go with Himothy Tillman now.
Nice.
A guy that I singled out before the season even started. I said, hey, this is a guy that could have a breakout year. And I think he's doing just that so far in 2024.
Yeah. You mentioned it, though, a little bit as we were talking you know, previous to the show and after the match and stuff. Still some goals they have to clean up defensively. There's no doubt. Again, taking nothing other than Rodriguez's strike, great goal. Sometimes teams are just going to score goals on you. You can't shut out everybody. Mm-hmm. But probably need to clean up some of this if you're going to really start to rack up wins. Because, again, you're leaving it late. You could have had a loss to the Red Bulls at home. You could have drawn with a 10-man Portland team if you weren't careful, right? If Denis doesn't do what Denis does in the 90-plus minute in both weeks. So you don't want to live like that over the long haul. I mean, it's great when you get that victory and everybody's pumped up, like you said, Mario. You can't afford to be living like that every week, though.
And especially I talked to Cherundolo about this last week, matter of fact. We talked about so far, you know, we're like 10 games into the season. I said, what are some of the things that you like from your group? And what is one thing that you need to improve on? And he said, well, we need to improve on our play inside of the box, offensively and defensively. Yeah. Offensively, get those balls into the back of the net. They had a lot of clean chances offensively to score that just haven't found the back of the net. And then defensively, there's been a little bit of sloppy goals from the opponents that kind of honestly been lucky goals where they just find the back of the net somehow, some way. So if we clean up that on both sides, offensively, defensively, that play inside the box, I think LAFC is going to be that much better.
Yeah, I mean, I think I couldn't agree more. And, you know, we started to see that. You saw it cleaned up as the playoffs approached last season. And then that's how you get on a big run when you start shutting out teams at Seattle. You know, you do that kind of thing. You're going to go on a playoff run. And Steve Cherundolo knows that. He and his staff know that they're building towards that. So it's not anything to be too concerned about, especially when you're scoring like LAFC are. And if you keep Denis hot. And if we talk about summer moves, you know, there's obviously a lot to still come here. So it's going to take time and it's a long season, but I like where they're headed. No doubt. Offensively, they're looking really sharp. Here is how it sounded on the radio. If you're wondering about the call on ESPN LA, this is the Denis Bouwanga game winner, second straight week in stoppage time.
Out swinger, Kamara header, save Crepeau, still loose in the area. Bouwanga, the shot back post, and in! Denis scores! Oh, what a finish from Bouwanga! He does it again in stoppage time. It's 3-2.
Very cool. Very cool finish. And I mean, what I loved about it, Mario, is it's so such a Denis goal. Those instincts just take over. If you watch, there's some great stuff on social media LAFC had about different camera angles, you know, different people's angles of video and stuff. Well, the one that's really impressive is kind of, I would say, far side away from where the cross came in, like the corner kick. So you see Kai go up corner. You see the great Crepeau save, but he can only just punch it out because Kamara gets so much of the header. And you see it from Denis' side of the pitch, but it's a perfect angle to see Denis running towards the end line with his body away from goal and still having enough to kind of shape the ball. Tremendous finish. I mean, just
and I think Maxime knew he was going to go far post, and I think Maxime was even setting his feet up. He was about to jump, and he didn't think that Bouwanga was going to be able to curl that in. And sure enough, he goes in.
Why would you think anybody? Nobody should be able to go cross body like that. Just in terms of, he's not trying to left foot that. He knows he needs to curl it in. You can't curl it with the left foot at that point. I mean, you're not going to hit the outside of the foot from that. You know, there's just no way. But he knows if he tries to curl it. Plus, when you make that kind of body move, here's the bottom line. Defenders are not expecting that type of shot. They're not going to be able to block. They're not getting into the right position. Not that they would have had much of a chance on that one anyway, if you watch that angle. But it just throws everybody off. Like, it's just perfection, utter perfection. And you know, maybe earlier in the year he hits the post and it went the other way back then, right? Like earlier in the season. Like it hits the outside of the post with a great effort. Unbelievable. Same effort, same thought, same effort, but this time it hits the inside of the post and you know it's going in actually. As soon as he struck it, it looked like, because we had a good angle. We're down that way. We're right there essentially at that 18 where we broadcast from. So it was just perfection.
I had a chance to talk to Sergi Palencia about Maxime Crepeau and his effort going into that match and all the amazing saves that Maxime had. And here's my walk-off chat with Sergi Palencia after the match here.
But that performance from your old friend Maxime Crepeau, he made some big saves. He was not going to go down without a fight as well.
Yeah, no, crazy. Here he feels like home. And we can tell that today the same saves that he always did for us. Today he did, and he's a phenomenal keeper. It's very tough to be against him, but very proud of him. Very happy. We had a fight last game, but everything is fine. And he's a great guy. And today the crowd applauds him and give him what he deserves.
Congrats on the big win, Sergi. Thanks for the
great stuff.
As you could tell, Sergi just like played his heart out, right, Dave? I mean, he's out of breath here because he gave it his all in that match.
I got to say, Mario, I was thinking about this because you've been talking about him a lot, you know, and you talk to him in practice, you know, you get to know him and everything, and we watch him all the time. Maybe one of the most underrated signings of all time for LAFC. Like, there's been guys, obviously, Carlos Vela's the greatest signing in LAFC history, and maybe always will be, always. Mm-hmm. Gareth Bale comes in, gives us the goal, Chiellini, so many great signings over the years, make no mistake. And bigger, you know, more important player. I mean, let's face it, you know, guys who's scoring goals and everything. But this might be the most, like, underrated, I guess, underappreciated signing of all time for LAFC. This guy is so good. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league, quite frankly. I really do.
And sometimes he's not in there, right? Sometimes he's not in the starting 11.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another reason why he is underrated. But when he is in there,
that's fair.
Opponents sometimes, I feel like they're not ready for him. I feel like opponents underestimate him as well because they see he's kind of shorter. They see he's kind of smaller, but he is so strong and fast. Great touch on the ball, great passes. Defensively, you know, slide tackles are amazing. So, yeah, there's not much that he can't do.
Yeah, you know, this is LAFC Plus, the plus portion. We want fans from all over MLS watching and listening to this show, right, on YouTube or on your podcast, wherever you – we don't want teams watching or listening, though. I don't want front offices listening, because otherwise they would know that Palencia is going to punch you in the nose, metaphorically, of course, every time and get physical with your winger. And it throws these guys off, man. They're not ready for it.
It does.
I don't know how they don't know this yet about this guy, but you can tell, man. It's like takes players a lot longer to adjust to him defending them than it should. That's how good he is. But also that it should. They're just not ready for it. Like, somehow, I don't know what they're scouting or whatever, but he's way more. Maybe they just see him as a little bit like not a huge, physically imposing Ryan Hollingshead type winger. You know, like where Hollingshead is like, holy cow, we got to defend him on set piece. You know, like he's big man. Like he knows how to play offensively as well. Like he's maybe that's part of it. They have to be worried so much about a guy like Ryan Hollingshead on the other wing, but man. Sergi's one of my favorites too. Like this coming and doing whatever he has to do. Like you said, coming off the bench whenever he has to. It's great. Love that.
Yeah.
Speaking of love it, I shout out to one of the greats in broadcasting and soccer history, Dave Johnson, who was on Twitter. He's a DC United, you know, been with them, you know, announcer, just a legend. I love listening to him. He was listening to our broadcast, I believe, on the Apple, you know, Apple TV season pass. He's a DC United.
It's a great option,
legend.
Right?
Yeah, so
tell the listeners about that. That's a great option.
Yeah,
if they don't know
around the country or anywhere. Mm-hmm. Honestly, there's no blackouts. Yeah. That's the cool thing about MLS Season Pass, right? You can get it anywhere to watch games. Now, if you're interested in listening to the home radio for every team, whoever the home team is that night, you can click on the little audio button to the right, kind of the right corner. Mm-hmm. It's not the easiest to find, but once you find it, it's always there. You know what I mean? Like, so it's a smaller little. If you click on it, it'll give you the options of the TV broadcast, obviously. That's the default. That's what you're listening to. But it'll give you the option to click onto the home radio. So, you know, if you want to listen to the home radio version, you can just click on it. It would be us, obviously, if it's an LAFC home game. Or, you know, if we're on the road, they don't offer us as part of the possibilities, right? It's the home radio. So if you're around the country and you're an LAFC fan, that's pretty cool. You know, if you were interested in listening to us, or if you just want to check out, you know, how people sound. I'm a professional. At least that's what I try to tell myself. So I like to listen to others, you know, like try to other radio broadcasts. Sometimes they're not that easy to find elsewhere. Most of the time you can find them, you know, on the apps, whatever, but it's so easy. Just boom. I'm always on MLS Season Pass anyway. So sometimes I like to click in, see what they're doing, see how they're calling games, you know, try to improve myself, and it's a great feature. So I was really really tickled pink, as an old phrase, I guess we go. Really happy that, I got to hear that Dave Johnson was listening. He's a legend, so appreciate that. Shout out to him, no doubt. Episode 10 contest got started, Mario. I want to do this real quick. Much fanfare. This is the second of 3 weeks. You got to come up with the phrase of the week. It's this week is Oh Sweet Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and listen to episode 10. Somewhere in there is the first of the three phrases you're going to need. After next week's final phrase of the week, we'll tell you how you can win my season tickets. One pair of season tickets to an upcoming one LAFC match. We can work that out when we get to that point. There'll be my personal season tickets, two tickets to one game. And this is the second of three phrases of the week. So next week's episode, obviously, but they're hidden within the episode. You started last week, episode 10. This week, Oh Sweet Mercy. Youth movement, Mario.
Let's go.
Omar Campos, again, gets some minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I like where he's headed. I thought Oliveira was very good again. He's causing a lot of grief. Yeah. Running at Portland.
His pressing causing that grief for those attackers.
Yeah.
Is for those defenders, actually. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pretty good. That's what Trundle loves, right?
Yeah, very much so. Still kind of waiting. Obviously, David Martinez, we're hoping the back gets, better and better. And that's, obviously that's a big, big blow for LAFC missing him these weeks just because of the back injury and everything. And we want to make sure you never want to rush that. You got to make sure he's 100%. So even if it takes a couple more weeks or no rush on there, but he's certainly ready to get back, I'm sure, mentally, if not physically, but we want to keep an eye on that. Good to see Oliveira, Campos, guys like that continue to contribute. I think certainly the sky's the limit with Omar Campos. You can see the talent there too. And I'm kind of excited about that signing, no doubt. I mean, you never know how guys translate. It's a tough move sometimes. Not the level he was playing at is tremendous, right? He's playing for Santos. I don't mean that, but just changing countries, changing cultures, changing everything about living somewhere else as a young man trying to play a professional sport. So we talk about it a lot, it is hard. I mean, it's not, so
let's not forget Dave about David Martinez too, right? David Martinez, that excitement that he was bringing into the stadium. My goodness. Like I almost forgot about him for a little bit, but then I saw him out there, at the training facility and just wishing him the best of luck to get back and speedy recovery. And hopefully we'll see him out there soon, but don't forget about him because he will be back and bring in that excitement.
And he will become a fan favorite, no doubt. I think you're right.
Well, he already has been. I mean, all the LAFC, the faithful, they know about him and they love him. They remember that excitement that he was bringing to the stadium.
Yeah, he gets a little extra something when he subs in at BMO. There's just going to be, it's just, you can tangibly feel it. There's no doubt about that. It's a great call. I like that call, no doubt. Yeah.
Speaking of great calls,
what's that?
One more thing. For youth movement, and also this could be part of our history, actually. Mm-hmm. Fufu Krastev. Krastev, he scored another goal. I don't know if you saw that, Dave.
I was going to write that down, dude.
Yeah, he scored another goal for, forgive me if I'm saying the name wrong, but Peck Zwolle.
Zwolle,
in the Dutch league, right? And he's playing well over there. Another goal for him. He's super confident. A guy with tremendous swagger when he was here.
Yeah.
He did it all. He was dynamic. He was exciting. And he hit the little dance, the gritty dance that he normally would do. Yeah. He hit that over there. So the fans are loving him over there. So shout out to him.
That's a great
keep
shout.
Going. Yeah.
It's a great shout too, because it also kind of brings up something on a deeper We're not going to get too deep into it right now, but it brings up a deeper topic in the sense that
go ahead.
Nobody doubted that Filip Krastev was a great young talent. Like we could see it every day.
Yeah.
It just at the time he came, right? There just wasn't quite enough opportunity for someone like him on a team that's trying to, trying to repeat, trying to win another, it just, the lineup was set. It happens in professional sports all the time, especially soccer, really. I mean, it's because there's so many thousands of players all over the world, right? So much good talent, so many great young players. LAFC goes and scouts and finds them. And in this case, it wasn't like they were wrong about the player. Clearly, he's going over there. He's going back to he's going to the Dutch league, going back to Europe. No trouble, right? He's playing well. And this is a team that was battling for avoid relegation and everything. It's tough. And he's really just stepped right in. He's a mainstay now in their midfield. So it was never a doubt of the talent. It's just how, you know, timing, when you can fit in, how many minutes you're going to get. Is it enough minutes, really, for a kid like that? I mean, maybe it's not. So you kind of have to make those decisions. There's, I guarantee, I don't know this for certain. We haven't talked with John Thorington about it, but I would almost guarantee that it certainly has nothing to do with how he played and talent and everything. That's why they brought him in. They can see the talent. That's why the price tag was so high, potentially. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, unjustifiable. He's just got that much. He's that good. And, you know, now he's getting a chance to show it. Hopefully someday he'll get another chance to show it here. That would be great. You know, like,
it's one of those situations where it's almost both for both. It's best for both sides, right?
Exactly.
He gets more playing time elsewhere, and LAFC, you know, they had a good time with him. So good.
And we're a salary cap league. You can't forget that, right? So it's not just a matter of you can't just stack every player you want.
Right.
In you can't have 30 guys that you think are just going to be, you know, tremendous and make whatever money they have to make. And, you know, you can't do that. It's a salary cap league.
Yeah.
Essentially a hard cap league. There's obviously some rules that people know about, the designated player, stuff like that, that we can work around a little bit, but it's tough. That's part of the tough part about being a salary cap league is, you can't necessarily just say, hey, let's keep him and give him 200 minutes over the half a year. That's not enough. I mean, he needs to play more, right? So, it is tricky. And he's, you know, Philippe Krastev, let's put to rest anybody who might say, well, could he have played in LAFC too? No. Sorry. You don't put a guy like that. I mean, all due respect to LAFC too. There's some fine players there. And even around MLS Next Pro. And occasionally a guy might go get some. But that wasn't going to help him. He just wasn't going to be able to get the opportunities that he needed, definitely, you know, in terms of minutes. It's just, they weren't there, so... It's a tough decision, but you can clearly see why LAFC went after him, and he's proven that. That's a great shout, Mario. Great shout. And, good luck to him. All the best, man. Good guy. Let's hope he continues. Why not? Speaking of hoping we continue, Football Fit Check continues this week, and I love when Mario takes over here. Mario, guide us through some very interesting Football Fit Check, attire this week. Let's go.
Yeah, let me get these pictures up here. Let's start it off like this with Lucho Acosta here, because – you know, we're going to do a little FC Cincinnati style football fit check on this one. Lucho Acosta comes in here looking fresh with the Louis V threads, you know. But check out the hairstyle, though. The hairstyle, that's part of your fit. I mean, I like to consider that part of my fit. So he got the old school braids here hanging down and then with the taper fade underneath. This shows his outfit, but let me show you another picture here that has his closer shot of his hair. There you go. There's his hair right there. I love that. And he was feeling good walking into the arena, walking into the stadium. And you could tell because he bagged a goal that game as well. So good for him with that fit. I like that. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good looking guy. What, you know, it works for him. I mean, I don't know. I can't. My haircut is so 1950s basic, man. I don't mess around, so I don't know any better with the hairstyles now, you know, today. But I'm just still glad I have some. I got to be honest. In my age, kudos to the kids who can continue to have hair. That's all I, you know, that's all I care about. But
nobody rocks what the curls like you, Dave. Don't get it twisted.
Thank you. Fair enough. 10 out of 10 for this. What do you? How you feeling about that?
You know, the hair, I definitely like the hair. And then back to the outfit.
Yeah,
Louis Vuitton, nice. But you know, his teammate DeAndre Yedlin,
he knows how to dress.
DeAndre Yedlin, he knows what he's doing with the outfits on the daily, and he never misses with his. And here you go with the tan bubble snow boots, right? Snow boots combined with jean shorts. So you got snow boots with shorts.
Yeah.
Also known as jorts in the fashion world. Boy. Jean shorts.
I'm not loving this one. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe this is get off my lawn, old man. Okay. Because you know, you know, you're the stylish guy. Now, in fairness, the weather is weird enough in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That you could potentially wear jorts and snow boots on the same day. That is possible. Before anybody from Southern California tries to judge, okay? I'm from Ohio. Trust me, this is a possible. You got the jacket. You could have to take that off in 20 minutes from now. You got the boots that you might need because it could end up snowing even in April. Mm-hmm. And then the Jordans could happen too if the warm breezes start. But I mean, Cincinnati is kind of south too. It's you know, in terms of in Ohio. So they do have some weird weather. It's possible. So I give them credit for that. I can't dock points for that, but
mm-hmm.
See, the funny thing is I'm envisioning myself in this outfit and I just look ridiculous. He actually looks cool. So there you go. But
he always looks cool. But I do got to say, Dave, one thing I'm not a fan of is the Nike toiletry bag.
No,
I mean, looks like it, to me, it looks like something that you got like at TJ Maxx or like at Marshall's or something, you know, like in the clearance section. I could totally see that little bag like $5.99 at TJ Maxx or something like that. Come on, DeAndre. You know better than that. You're better than this, DeAndre. Come
on.
Where's the Louis toiletry bag?
If I close my eyes real hard or squint, and it almost looks like he in the picture. Now, if you go to YouTube, if you want to check out the show there, episode 11 here, mm-hmm. check it out. Mm-hmm. You can find this picture where we're at here. If you squint a little bit, it looks like he's a giant, and that's his bowling bag ball.
true.
Like, it doesn't look like a toiletry bag if you don't get too great a look at it. You just take a quick look and it looks like he's a massive, like Andre the Giant, and that's his bowling bag ball, because it looks small, but he's going bowling, Mario. So I like it already. I like that.
We got one more, Dave. We got one more. This one, actually, you spotted this one out. Mateusz Klich from DC United, right?
Yeah.
You spotted this one out and I was like, oh yeah, sure enough.
Yeah.
Look at that with the brown pants, with the cardigan, with that kind of like, what is that, a mustard green? Like, I'm not sure what kind of green that is, but that's a very cool green. Oh, man.
I like it.
Stylish. Look at that swag. Look at the boots, too, as well, with the brown, the tan. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Looks good.
Good look.
Soccer players, as we've talked about, can wear a lot of this stuff, though, because they're in such great shape, right? Everything looks good on these guys. They're just model, like, in terms of, you know, just the body type and everything, they're in great shape. So all clothes seem to look tremendous on these guys, no doubt. This is a very good outfit, though. I like it. Not the kind of color scheme you might think of sometimes, you know, before a match or whatever, but I dig it. Mm-hmm. Little old school San Diego Padres, kind of the colors.
True. Yeah, good catch by you. You caught this one, Dave. I love that.
Yeah, pretty sharp, I got to say. Kudos to all of these guys. They all look good this week. Here on Football Fit Check. Around the rest of MLS, now we take a look at the plus of LAFC plus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We won't start with him. We'll get to there. We know who we're talking about because he's, you know, he deserves it. He deserves it. But I want to start with this team. Mm-hmm. Not because of what we've been talking about or because I thought they'd have it. Massive kudos to Toronto FC for, first of all, you go on the road. You're down a goal in like the 80th minute to Orlando, who's looking – like they're really going to, you know, you're going to be hard pressed to score. They get two late goals. One of them from Prince Owusu again. Remember we talked about him to win it. They go on the road and win without Insigne. And Mario, I got to talk about this guy, Federico Bernardeschi. Sometimes he gets a little bit of, you know, criticism. Maybe like this dude is dropped back into a wing back spot. This is a guy who's been playing up front all his life, you know, going forward. Now from the wing back spot, in fairness, they need him to go forward. That's part of his job. But he's sacrificing for the team. No goals yet. Just had his first two assists on these goals in this match to win.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff he's doing and kind of sacrificing his own, you know, bottom line, he's sacrificing his own stats. You have to give him credit. Without an injured Insigne, and they still are picking up points. Impressive.
Yeah, incredible assist. He continues to cook up, like you said, doing what he has to do for the team.
Yeah.
And picking up a win against a struggling Orlando side. Let's admit that. But, you know, Orlando's towards the bottom of the East. But still, it's a win on the road, like you say. So any win on the road in MLS is massive. And Toronto is off to a great start with 16 points on the season already. Fourth in the East. So, and like you said, doing it without Insigne is very, very impressive.
Yeah, I would agree. We move on. Austin FC all over the LA Galaxy. Two early goals and then just kind of absolutely, I guess, stifled the Galaxy offense. Now, they got shots. They moved the ball around like they're always going to do, but not really dangerous. Stuver made a couple of nice saves. Brad Stuver, kudos to him. Good game. But was the blueprint kind of put out there by LAFC, Mario? Because if the Galaxy don't – if they don't build up a head of steam coming at you on the wings – it's not that easy for them to put the ball in the back of the net. Now, Jovalich was out. Fair credit to that. We have to, you know, you have to mention that. But if you get Joseph Paintsil in some space or Peck, fine. They're going to hurt you, and they're hurting a lot of teams that way. But if you don't, they're not going to be running all over you, and their defense still is susceptible on set pieces. I mean, are people starting to figure it out? Is that the, you know, doesn't mean they're going to stop them every week, Mario, but that was an impressive display from Austin. They really shut down a good offense.
They're showing a lot of promise, right? With now 4 wins in their last 5 matches. And also, Drewsy seems to be in really good form right now.
Yeah.
Austin just showing that promise. And I know that that atmosphere at Q2 Stadium is awesome. Every single game sold out since they started. And they did exactly what LAFC did. And I think they did follow that blueprint of shutting down that dangerous Galaxy attack, because that's not easy to do. So kudos full credit out there to Austin. Austin FC. Yeah.
It was the kind of season where it could have really went off the rails this year for them. And Josh Wolf, I mean, he could have been gone realistically if they didn't turn it around, you know. And kudos to them for just battling through it. Still not getting anything from Ragone, who they're spending a lot of money, you know. And yet they're still managing to pull out, as you said, 4 out of 5 wins. Not just draw, you know, wins.
Wins.
3 for a win is the greatest rule change in the history of sports. 3 points for a win is the greatest rule change in the history of all sports, because now you got to go for it. And they're doing it. They're not picking up draws.
It's a nice reward.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. 3 points is a nice reward. You can rack up points very quickly with wins.
Here's a question about Lionel Messi. There is no question. He is the best player. 9 goals, 7 assists in less than 600 minutes. I did the math. He's got a goal or an assist contribution every 36 minutes so far this season.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So we know how great he is. Here's the thing. Is he going to catch Carlos Vela's 49 goal contribution record, right? 34 goals. That in itself may be difficult. He's certainly on pace. 49 total with 15 assists Carlos added that season, 2019, the greatest individual season in the history of MLS, and a pretty darn good team that year too. But Mario, is Messi going to catch it, that record?
Well, I mean, he has a couple of tournaments coming up, right? He has the Leagues Cup, and he has, what else does he have? Copa America coming up.
He'll be gone for Copa America. I mean, at least the whole league shut down at Leagues Cup, right? So he doesn't have, he's not missing games for that, of course.
Right.
But Copa America, he can miss handful of games or more.
Like and then the days games, that he wants to get rest from some of those games. But the thing is about Messi, he doesn't really want rest. He went the full 90. If he's available, he wants to play.
Yeah.
And so that's huge for Miami, because Messi, he even played on turf. He's doing it on turf as well, Dave, in that New England turf just over the weekend. 2 goals. I mean, so I don't know what's going to stop him. I don't know. Is there any flaws in that Inter Miami team? I think maybe I can think of maybe one at the goalkeeper position, because Drake Callender has made some, you know, mistakes back there and some moments that have been costly for Inter Miami. This weekend, he made a huge mistake in just the 36th second of the match that led to a PK. So in Champions League as well, in the CONCACAF Champions, Drake Callender had a bit of a mistake there that I think they couldn't recover from, and they ended up getting knocked out of that. So, yeah, who's going to stop Messi? I don't know. So we'll see.
Well, I'm going to answer the question. He's not going to get that record of Carlos Vela's.
Okay.
And I'll say why. They're 11 games in Inter Miami. Mm-hmm. They played more than ever, you know. And Messi's missed some time, in fairness. You know, he had a little bit of an injury, so he's not played a ton. But Inter Miami is 11 games in. That's about a third of the season. He's got 16 goal contributions, and he's playing incredible, no doubt. But, you know, 16 times 3, even if he kept this pace up, that's 48 goal contributions. That doesn't even get him to Carlos's number. As great as he's played. Now, granted, if he were to not miss another game, yeah, he's got a good shot. Let's be honest. He has a good chance to beat. But he's going to miss other games, right? We talked about Copa America. So he's just not going to probably play enough to get to that record. Doesn't mean he won't have, you know, the average goal contributions he would have needed, probably, you know, if you averaged it out, but he's just going to probably miss too much time. That's why. Again, playing out of, you know, not out of his mind. He's playing like Lionel Messi. He's not playing out of his mind. In fact, he's playing just like he always does. But I don't think he gets to that amazing 49 because he probably won't play enough games. So, I'm going to do a little something with you, Mario. Real or fake with the rest of this around MLS? We'll both talk a little bit about that. A couple teams. No, not Real or fake, although they're one of the teams we're going to talk. Real or fake, meaning their start so far. Is it a real kind of representation of who they are, or is it, should we see them kind of level out, if you will? And I'm going to start with a team that is very intriguing, very good so far, Minnesota United. We saw it. We went to Minnesota and got a 2-0 loss handed to us. They're beating good teams on the road, at home. It doesn't matter. Is this a real representation of Minnesota United, or is this kind of a fake start?
I think it's a very, very real representation of Minnesota United. You see what they can do at home. You see what they did to LAFC. You see what they've done to a lot of the top teams in MLS so far. So if they continue to do this, Dave, that's a team to, you know, to look out for, especially when it gets going into the playoffs. Now, in the playoffs, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. So that's another story there. But so far, to my eyes, I do believe this is real, what we're seeing there at Minnesota.
Yeah, especially when you consider that if you'd have thought about this great start, you'd probably be like, well, okay, they worked off the Reynoso situation before the season. He came in red hot. He's that kind of talent. Okay, they must be, you know, Pookie's probably lacing in goals. They got a lot of depth. Longwane. Those are the things you would have thought with this kind of start. Yeah. Reynoso's nowhere to be found as we you know, do this show, and probably
one of the most talented players in the entire league. So
no doubt.
Yeah, to do it without him is impressive.
You figure that situation's going to work itself out here very soon. I can't imagine it won't. And
hopefully so. I miss watching him, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, I hope he comes back. I don't know that he ever will. As we again, as we do this show, it's not looking great in that sense, but even still, that kind of resolves the situation, is my point, right? Like, you don't have it lingering over your head. You don't want that lingering over your team's head all year, but it's not seeming to affect them. This team is amazing. Another team we want to ask, real or fake, the start for Nashville. Kind of up and down. Walker Zimmerman's been injured. Let's face it. He's a great defender. We know that. So they've been struggling. Is this defensive struggle especially, but also in the standings, is it real or fake for Nashville?
I think it's real as of now. I mean, they really need their talisman, right? They need Hany Mukhtar to be that MVP type of player, Dave. And we're just not seeing that quite yet. He did have a spectacular goal over the weekend, but he only has 2 goals on the season. And if you're going to be a top contender, you need a guy like Hany Mukhtar to be in form. So we'll see if he continues to score going forward.
Yeah, they need that, but they also needed a lockdown defense, because they're not going to be a kind of team that's even looking half the time to go out and score 3 or 4 goals. That's not really their game model a lot of times. They're just trying to wear you down, defend the heck out of you, and make it 1-0 with Hany Mukhtar winning the game for them, which certainly can work at times if you have the. But they're not locking down anybody. I do think this is real, though. I think they're getting older. People know the game model. They, you know, yes, Walker Zimmerman's missed a lot of time, but, you know, that does happen to players. You got to get, you know, everybody has injuries, so you got to work your way around that. They just don't – I don't think this team is where they need to be going forward in the sense of on an upswing. Now, again, long season, like you said, Walker maybe does mean all that much. You know, maybe when he comes back, they start locking it down again, winning 1-0 games, and that turns things around. But right now they are – for real, not good, if that makes sense. Final one, Real Salt Lake. Real or fake this start?
I think that is very real. Chicho is right on the heels of Lionel Messi. I mean, he has another assist for Chicho over the weekend, another win for RSL. They're right underneath Inter Miami in the Eastern Conference standings. And who knows what will happen to Miami.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen to Miami when Messi is away on international duty or, you know, taking a rest day. But Chicho is not going to let Messi just run away with all the shine this season. That's for sure. RSL, you know, handed Philadelphia Union their first loss of the season. Just this over the weekend. So they are for Real.
They are for Real. Very good. That is a tough place to win. All good points. Yeah, I don't disagree. Added a lot of talent. That left back who scored on the weekend, really good. Catranis is a very good player. He knows how to play, as we talk about a lot on the show.
Good addition right there.
He knows how to interject or inject himself in the offense just enough and, like, not lose his defensive response. I mean, good player, really good pickup. They're doing some good work there.
What a goal from him, right? And he just walked up to the Philadelphia crowd and just told them all to calm down.
Yeah.
Everybody calm down, simmer down. I got this.
We would expect that from Chicho sometimes, but not from your left back.
Yeah.
That's pretty good sauce from a left back to, able to do that in Philadelphia. Like you said, tough place to go, no doubt. One final thing around the rest of MLS, and they're not here yet. I mean, they're in the league, but not playing yet. I go to Tom Boger to the Athletic a lot for my, to try to see what's going on in the league. And he had reported that it appears that the two sides are, certainly, on my words, really in negotiations for Chucky Lozano and San Diego FC, Maury. Wow. I mean, that would be
a lot of rumors. Yeah.
7+ or 8+ figure transfer fee, certainly, eight figures plus. That's a legit move if they can pull that off, no doubt. And it's another player in MLS for, California, Mario, and it's something that LAFC can't take lightly or LA Galaxy can't take lightly because that's Southern California.
Yeah.
They're going to start getting their players into that academy, the dream, the Right to Dream Academy they're building.
I saw that as well. First one in MLS. Yeah. That's awesome.
Nothing to be messed with. This is a team that's coming in, spending a lot of money on to get into the league. That's not something you're just going to, let's just throw a team out. We had to spend $500 million just to join the league. You're not going to screw around with that. You're going to build something there, and they are. So we'll see if that gets
Tom Penn definitely knows what he's doing over there, right? Tom Penn definitely knows what he's doing over there. He did it here at LAFC. There's a lot of big Mexican names, players, and coaches rumored to be going over there. So we'll see. I mean, we're hearing stuff about Memo Ochoa, Sanchez.
You pull off any of that stuff, look out. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're doing it well. They're doing it
part of our history, right? Tom Penn, part of our history. It's not just about players. So, yeah.
True.
Kudos to them. I mean, again, if it makes other teams step up their game all around MLS, that's fine by me. That's the way it should be, no doubt. And we'll see how it works out, if it works out for San Diego FC on that front. We'll keep our eyes open. It's going to work out for LAFC. Another game on Saturday, we hope.
Yeah.
Again, you know me, Mario. You always laugh at me. I get worried about some of these games that on paper don't look that worrisome, but it's at San Jose in Levi Stadium, big crowd, right? They're going to want to beat their Southern, beat LA is always the chant up in Northern California. Mm-hmm. Now they get a couple opportunities every year in front of their home crowd, whether it's the Galaxy or us now. Soon it'll be San Diego as well, I'm sure. So the beat LA, the beat LA chant works, beat Southern California, whatever. But
yeah,
earthquakes are awful, bottom line, and they've looked awful, but
yeah,
they do have some offense, and they just signed Lopez. I mean, we'll just leave it at that. 4 p.m. for the pregame. You tell me why if I'm an idiot for worrying about it, though. Bottom line,
you always worry. That is true about you, Dave. But San Jose, I mean, they're coming in off of that well-deserved draw that we talked about earlier against Nashville. But they only have one win all season long, and they have 8 losses. I mean, there's only one draw sprinkled in there, but they have 8 big losses.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to cut it for San Jose. But this match, like you said, is coming up at Levi Stadium. Let's see how many people they can actually jam into that stadium. And they're going to need all the help they can get, because LAFC is coming in, and LAFC is rolling off after that game winner from Bawanga. So let's see if LAFC can build off of the last road match that they had, right? LAFC picked up that draw, so that was a step in the right direction. The next step in the right direction would be picking up the 3 points on the road.
Yeah.
So let's see this Saturday. Get it.
Earthquakes, first time all year they gave up less than 2 goals in a match with that 1-1 draw against Nashville. That Hani Mukhtar goal was special, though. I mean, in fairness,
it was, yes.
Nobody's stopping that. So, but they have been susceptible. And we said LAFC, 6 straight matches with 2 goals or more. San Jose giving up at least 2 goals a match. Let's see how that all, transpires. You would think there'd be plenty of offense, certainly, for that match for LAFC. 4:00 for the pregame on ESPN LA, the ESPN LA app. Mm-hmm. So join us there. Mario, great stuff as always. Keeps rolling along, Dave. Baby.
Yes, sir. Let's go black and gold.
Absolutely.